Bear with me one moment. I'd like to bow our heads one more time as we pray for the word that's about to go. Father, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. So I thank you that this message is going to activate faith inside of every listener to come alive and to reach out and grab your hand, to reach out and grab everything that you have to offer us, God. The message title this morning is The Hurting Ones. There are so many people that are hurting in this world. So many people that appear to have it all together, but on the inside, there's pain. So many people wear a smile in front of the crowd, but behind closed doors, there is depression. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that this word that is about to be preached will bring the truth that sets people free. Will bring the truth that makes people free, and that every person, God, that is oppressed or depressed or that in need of a touch from the hand of the Savior will be touched this morning because their faith will increase. We pray this and ask that you would decrease me in every way, God. Decrease me in every way. I just allow at this time your Holy Spirit to minister through me. I am a willing servant and an open vessel for you, God. Use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so very important this morning that we be transparent and honest with this message, okay? The message is entitled The Hurting Ones. And sometimes the people that go to church are the best at hiding pain because we know exactly what to say. We know exactly what to do. When we get around each other, you know, there has to be joy and there has to be a smile. But in the meantime, there are times when we get alone, if we're honest, that sadness tries to creep in, that joy is vacuumed out. So if you would be willing to be transparent this morning, if you would be willing to allow God to touch that part of you that hurts, I believe that he's going to heal it today. So many times we start to build walls in our lives because we've been hurt before. And we declare that, you know what, nobody's ever going to hurt me again. Some of us have been left or divorced or separated. Some of us have lost a child or lost the mother or lost a loved one. And we declared, you know what, nothing else is getting in. I'm never going to let anything else in. Nothing's going to hurt me again. Some of us, some of the listeners right now might be in nursing homes and might be in hospitals and they're so tired of being sick and they feel like giving up and they're hurting. So this message is for the hurting ones. And the ones that hurt the most are those that think that they have it all together. Because the word of God says this, there is a way that seems right, but in the end it only leads to destruction. So we're going to go into the word and we're going to believe that Jesus Christ is going to do some healing this morning. Let's start in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. And verse 25 reads, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father." So Jesus is saying, my Father has given me all things. They've been delivered to me. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father." So no man really knew the magnitude of who Jesus Christ was except for the Father. "Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son." So Jesus Christ is the introduction to his Father. We can't get to God without going through Jesus Christ, okay? "And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." So Jesus Christ is willing to reveal himself to all of those that are willing to come in. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock." It's up to him to invite Jesus Christ into our, it's up to us to invite him into our lives. But like I said, there's some rooms in our hearts that nobody gets to go into. There's some recesses of our minds that nobody gets to go into. Those places that we are alone and we are sad and we are crippled, we seem to have it all together. But there's those places that the enemy tries to pick us and torment us, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ this morning wants to reveal the love and truth of his Father to the hurting ones. John 10:10 reads this way. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who is the thief? The thief is Satan or the devil. He is the one that is causing so much havoc and so much pain, but then they turn around and blame God. What happens whenever there's a catastrophe in this world? When the Twin Towers fell down, what were they saying? Where was God? Where is God? So every time the thief comes in to do something into our lives, it's instinct for the world to say, where was God? So how about you? The women in the audience or the women listeners who were at a very young age violated, and you carry this pain all throughout adulthood, and you want to be so healed, but you don't want to tell anybody about it. That's one of those dark rooms I'm talking about. That's one of the recesses of the mind I'm talking about, that the Jesus Christ wants to pull the blinds and he wants you to open the door so that the light of God might come in, that the love of God might come in and heal you where you are hurting the most. You see, Jesus Christ is not just some historical figure. Jesus Christ is very much alive, and Jesus Christ is very much real, and Jesus Christ is still in the business of healing and setting people free. John 10:10 declares who the true thief is, who the true killer is, and who the true destroyer is. And he says this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ didn't come just to give us eternal life, but abundant life. He's the one that makes everything better if we put our hope and our trust and our confidence in him. And some of you might say, well, I've tried that, Pastor. I've done that, but I'm still sick. I've done that, but I'm still hurting. But I want to let you know that true deliverance is nowhere else except in Jesus Christ. So many people try other things. They try the alcohol. They try the drugs. They try things on the computer that you should not be looking at. They try shopping. They try so many things to ease the pain that the devil has caused, but there's only one person that can do it, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the sweet, sweet Savior. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the one that promises never to leave us and never to forsake us. And some of us might say, well, where were you, God, in my greatest moment of pain? Why did you even allow it to happen if you love me? If you care for me, why am I in this position? I'll tell you why. It is so that in this moment, that his Father might be glorified when he touches your life and brings you the deliverance and the healing that you've been waiting for. And then what you get to do is turn around and go to find more hurting people and say, come this way. Isn't that what happened in Samaria? There was a time where Jesus Christ was with his disciples, and he said, you know what? I must needs go to Samaria. I've got to go to Samaria. They didn't question him. He just went. And there he met a woman that was at the well, and he asked her for some water to drink. And she said, don't you know who I am? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, okay? You don't get along with us. We don't get along with you. And he said, if you knew who I was. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. That's the problem, America. We don't really know who Jesus is sometimes. If we are in deep and dark pain, we have not had a true experience with Jesus. He's got to become more than just a historical figure. He's got to become more than just an image on the cross. He's got to become more than just a baby in the manger. He's got to become a living God in your life. He's got to be invited into your struggle, invited into your pain, and that is when you know how real he is. That is when you know how true he is. I visited a man in the hospital this morning who lost his son not very long ago, and he went into the emergency room for some heart trouble. And what God revealed to me is it's not his physical heart that is ailing him so much as the broken heart. You see, God is after the broken heart. You see, medicine won't fix the broken heart. You see, there's things that medicine can't touch. There's things that counselors can't touch that only the mighty counselor can touch, that only our mighty God can touch. And Jesus wants in, but he doesn't kick in the door. He must be invited. Amen. He wants to give us the abundant life that he promised because he is angry at what the devil has done to us. He is angry at the havoc that has been wreaked upon the people in this world. So he left glory. He left his kingdom to come down and suffer for our sins, to deliver us from our darkness, to free us from our prison and heal our pain. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 says this: the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. For those of you that personally know Jesus Christ now, as I do, there was one time in our life that we sat in great darkness. Now, I can't talk about your darkness. I can only talk about my darkness. And I've had some very dark moments in my life. You might think, well, you're just a pastor and you're a police officer and you've got it all together. No, he put it all together. That's the difference. I don't have it together. He put it together. He pulled me out of a lifestyle of alcohol, pulled me out of a lifestyle of promiscuity, pulled me out of a lifestyle of destroying myself, and he freed me from that darkness and pulled me into his marvelous love. Oh, how I love him back now. Oh, how I love this God that was willing not to overlook me. You see, the world will overlook you in your pain. They'll tell you, why don't you just get it together? Why are you still sad? Why are you still broken? Just move on. But if you've been hurt from the inside, it's hard to just move on. Yes, you can still put your 40 hours in at work. And yes, you can still wear a smile. But it's hard to move on when you've been hurt in a way that people can't see. People have more sympathy for people on crutches or people in a wheelchair because we can see your ailment or see your pain. But Jesus came for the ones that the devil has tried to wreak havoc in. And I have good news for you this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ declares that whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. You can be free from every single thing that the enemy has tried to take from you. Let's stop blaming God, because he said there is a thief. There is a thief out there, and he is the one that is wreaking havoc. He is the one that is causing all this pain in America and abroad. He is the one. When we turn our back on God, when we took prayer out of school, when we just said abortion's okay and we've done all these things, and now we want to say, where is God? It's time for us, the church. The world is not going to welcome God back. It's up to the church to cry out. The word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their sins, then will I reach down from heaven, hear from heaven and heal their land. But the land I want to talk about today is you. You are the land that needs to be healed. And you say, Pastor, why are you calling me land? Because do you know what you're made out of? The dust of the earth. And God wants to heal your land today. So there's an invitation found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And it reads this way: come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. That's the invitation. Come to me. Come to me. What keeps us from coming to Jesus? Sometimes we've had some hurt in the church. Sometimes we've been hurt by church people, and that puts a bad taste in our mouth about God. But I'm here to tell you today that the thief can even infiltrate churches. That the devil can even show up in churches and cause injury, cause pain to people, and then blame God and say, look, God doesn't love you because they don't love you. That's not the truth. The truth is, all God ever wanted to do was free you from all of your sins and everything that came along with sin. Okay? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen? Come unto me. Will we accept the invitation by faith? Because the world never wants those that are hurting. The world never wants those that are in pain. It takes love to reach out to someone that's in pain. Because it's easy just to walk right by them, because many times they won't cry out. And even in our country today, we're coming upon an age where immigrants are no longer welcome, okay? But we know that this is a country that has lots of immigrants, some by force and some by choice. But regardless of that, this is supposed to be a nation for all that will come. Now, Jesus Christ is inviting us this morning, those of you that are sitting here and those of you that are listening, to finally just stop everything else. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, tried method after method. We're trying so many things to free us from this pain when the only one that has the key is Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What type of labor are we talking about here? Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So many of us are laboring for things that don't matter. So many of us are working hard for things in the end that don't even matter. The Bible says that we should pay less attention to the things that we can see because they're just temporary, and pay more attention and focus more energy on the things that we cannot see because they are eternal. Some of us, we work overtime. We work two jobs to have these things that our children will fight over one day. These things that there'll be an auction over one day. Let's stop laboring for the things that perish. And if we're going to labor, let's labor for something that's going to last forever. Amen? And only Jesus can give us that. He also said, "Come unto me, all that ye are labor and are heavy laden." What does it mean to be heavy laden? It is a heavy burden, something that is weighing down on us that we do not desire to have anymore. And if you would be open, it's very important that you be open this morning. Those of you that are here and listening, be open right now. Be transparent right now. It's okay if you cry while you're listening to this message. It's fine. Crying is just going to bring cleansing to your soul and an invitation for God to come in and heal those dark places that are hurting, okay? To be heavy laden means to have this burden that typically is put upon us by the enemy because we have been attacked and we have someone that is after our souls. How do we know? Jesus told Peter, "Peter, the enemy desires to sift you, to tear you apart like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fails not." Amen. Father, I'm praying right now that as people listen to this message, they will begin to accept your invitation to be healed of every issue from the time they were a child till now. Whatever it is, I pray that their faith would arise to the occasion of the word that is being spoke over them in Jesus' name. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. There's a woman there that had an issue of blood, and many of us have many different issues. By show of hand, how many of you have any kind of issues, whether it be financial issues, health issues, family issues? All right, issues. This woman had an issue of blood, a disease, okay? Let's read Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 19. "And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, how long? 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment." Why? We're told in verse 21, "For she said within herself." Let's stop right there. She said within herself. At the very beginning of this message, I told you all that God has put a deposit inside of us of faith. We've all got it. Say this with me. I have faith. One more time. I have faith. Now, this woman, she had tried everything else for 12 years, but something clicked. She spoke something within herself to say, you know what? I've heard about this Jesus, and it's time that I go, and if I may just touch his garment or touch his clothing, I shall be whole. That is where the miracles happen. That is where healing happens. When you take your faith and reach it out to the one that says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 5 years ago, I sat in St. Rita's Hospital with a diagnosis of kidney failure. And it really didn't sink into me. It really didn't sink into me till they rolled me up to dialysis. You know, I was a man of faith, trusting God. But you know what? Faith is a lot different when it's got to be turned on. You can say you've got faith all you want. But when that fire comes, when that fire starts, your faith is going to be tested. And they rolled me up to that room and I sat there, and that is when the magnitude of the situation hit me, and I just began to weep and I began to cry. It was my darkest hour. I held it together as long as I could. I held it together in front of family as long as I could. And maybe some of you do this right now. You hold it together very well when you're around other people. But when it's time for you to be alone somewhere, that is where the true you comes out. And it's the true you that Jesus wants to touch this morning. It's the true you that Jesus wants to heal this morning. But he's not going to make you come. He says, you come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest that you're looking for. Some of you, you take sleeping pills because you can't rest at night, but I'm telling you that Jesus has a rest that exceeds the sleeping pill. Some of you take anxiety medication because you're just always nervous because of the situations you face. You find it hard to cope, but I'm telling you that there is a better anxiety medication than a pill, and his name is Jesus Christ. The word of God calls him the Prince of Peace. That means that there is no higher peace than him. There is no better peace than to be found in Jesus Christ. But you've got to believe. Don't just take my word for it. Today, I'm a commercial for the gospel. Don't just take my word for it. I ask that you would try him for yourself. Jesus, come and touch this pain. I'm hearing this message being broadcasted. I'm listening to it right now. And you don't have to wait till the end of the service. You can do it right now. You can lift up your hands all over this place. You can lift up your hands out there listening on the radio and say, Jesus, I give it to you now. The word of God says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. You see, we're so used to calling people and saying, hey, I'm not feeling well. And we're so used to the phone being silent. That's even the worst part. When people know that you're hurting, people know that you're down, and the phone just sits there silent. That hurts. But we have a Lord and Savior who's always listening, who's always has an ear bent down low to those that he loves. How do we know that he loves us in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of our struggle? Because look at the trouble he faced on the cross for us when he was innocent. Look at the struggle that he faced on the cross for us when he was innocent. Amen? So, verse 22, we see that the woman said within herself, that's what we all have to come in agreement with. We've all got to declare, you know what? I am hurting, but I am going to come to an agreement with myself and allow this faith to reach out and touch him. Verse 22, after she touched him, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Whose faith? Her faith. Her own faith made her whole. Let me tell you something. Before God ever put us on this earth, he knew us. And he's the one that gave you your eye color. He's the one that knew how tall you'd be. He's the one that knew what color your hair would be. But he didn't just give you genetics. He didn't just give you physical DNA. He gave you spiritual DNA. Because from the beginning of time, the Trinity stood there and said, let us make man in our image and likeness. So not only do we have natural DNA that gives us our hair color and our nose shape and all those kinds of things, we've got spiritual DNA. God is on the inside of us, and there's something that he left inside every one of us called faith. Say it with me again. I have faith. If I could just get you to believe that, if I could just get you to believe that on the inside of you, there has been a deposit of faith that was going to be there to carry you through every single situation you went through. Why would God make you and then allow you to run out of faith? Why would God make you and not give you the exact kind of faith that you need to get through every situation that your life was intended to go through? It's in there. The faith that you need to get through whatever storm that shows up on your door, it's in there. The faith to get through the deepest, darkest pain that you have in your life, it's in there. God is not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should repent. I don't care what your trouble says. Listen to what God is saying. He is the divine healer. He is the comforter. He is the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus, and there is none like him, no, not anywhere. We put so much trust and confidence in doctors. My kidney doctor came into my room and said, Damien, it's going to take a miracle or a transplant. Well, I got both of them, okay? Because I had been alive for I don't know how many years with no kidney function, and I was throwing up every single day. Every single day I was throwing up. God, what's wrong with me? God, what's wrong with me? My kids worried about me. My wife worried about me. People at work worried about me because I was even throwing up at work. What's wrong with me, God? So I went to the doctor. Can you say the doctor? I went to the doctor, and you know what they told me? Damien, you just have ulcers. That's all that's wrong with you. Take these pills and go about your business. So for months, I took these ulcer pills when I had no kidney function and they weren't doing a thing for me. That's the first miracle, ladies and gentlemen, that whatever you are going through right now, that you are still alive. No matter how much pain you've been through already, you are still alive. No matter how sick you are in your body or how sick you've been, you are still alive. And wherever there is life, there is still hope. Hope in who? Not hope in a miracle cure. Hope in the cure of all miracles. And his name is Jesus. If I could just get you to activate your faith this morning. Let's go to Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Like I said, many of us have issues at different times. Some of us, we're not sick, you know, in our bodies, but we can be sick in our minds, we could be sick in our souls, we could just be so oppressed, we could be losing sleep, we could be anxious, all these different things we could be facing in our lives, and that is why there is a record of the gospel. That is why it is so important that you turn off Fox News and turn off CNN sometimes and pick up the best news there is, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there is no hope coming over those airwaves. They're just talking about how good he's doing or how bad he's doing or what North Korea is doing or what China is doing. And your Bible's talking about what God has already done, what God has already done, what he has already done. He's already capable of it, and he's just waiting for us to accept his invitation to come unto him. Mark 5 and 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, how fast? Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That word immediately is so important. Let's stop waiting for our healing. Let's stop waiting for our deliverance. If Jesus says, come, let's immediately go. Now, if I had a $100 bill up here and I said, the first woman over the age of 70 that gets here to get this money, do you know that there'd be some fast moving 70-year-olds? You're like, oh my, I didn't know she could move that fast. Okay? They would immediately spring up and say, okay, I'm getting that. All right? Now, listen. Why don't we put our faith in Jesus the same way? When we read the scriptures and it says that all she did was reach out to touch him and she was healed, how come that doesn't do something to our spirit immediately and say, you know what? It's time. Today is the day. I'm not walking around with this pain anymore. I'm not walking around under these circumstances and conditions with this labor and with this trouble anymore. I am going to have an immediate response. Verse 3, we see that the man came out of the tombs that had the unclean spirit immediately, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. The name of this message is called The Hurting Ones. It's for those of you that always, night and day, there you are crying. There you are injured. And listen, some of your injuries are this. Here's what some of your injuries are. It's not that you have an ailment. It's just that you have a spiritual handicap. And what I mean by that is you're not walking in the fullness of where God wants you to walk. He calls you a mighty man of valor, but yet you live at a lower position saying, no, not me. He calls you mighty women of God, but you say, no, not me. It's time that you begin to agree with what God says about you instead of what depression and sadness says about you. Because listen, the condition of your soul, whether you have joy or sadness, depends on what thought you've agreed with. It depends on what thought you've agreed with. If you have a thought that says, I am no good, I am sick, nobody loves me, I might as well not be here. If you agree with that thought, if you make a connection with that thought, if you're yoked with that thought, then that is where depression comes from, because you've agreed with these lies. The Bible says that the devil is the author and the father of every lie. And the only thing that can free us from that lie is Jesus Christ, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So here's what Jesus comes to say about you. Remember the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and they were ready to stone her to death? And what was the truth that he spoke in the midst of the crowd? He says, though whoever is without sin, let them cast the first stone. And what happened? Rock after rock after rock flew, but not at her, at their own feet. And they had to walk away. And Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers now? And she says, there's nobody here, Lord. And he says, you know what? I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. You see, it's sin that gets us in the terrible conditions that we find ourselves in sometimes. But we can be free from all sin and torment, because all Jesus ever desired for us was to leave us free. And he's fine. He's fine. Okay. Continuing on, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Oh, wow. There's two words that excite me in this passage. Immediately and worshiped. Immediately and worshiped. So here was this man that was so bound. Here was this man that was full of demons and full of demonic activity. But yet, when he saw Jesus, he immediately ran out to him. And then when he reached him, but it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. So here's the question this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Have we allowed our circumstance to stifle and stop our worship? And if it has, then let's just see what the devil's plan was the whole time. Do we understand? If we allow the circumstance that we're going through to cut off our praise for God, cut off our love for God, don't we understand that that is why the devil did it in the first place? So here's what we have to do. So you know what? It's time for me to rise. Every single morning, what's the first thing we hear? I don't care where you live. What's the first thing you hear outside every morning? the birds chirping and praising God. Scientists might say they're doing something else, but I know who made them. And the word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Regardless of whether they found a worm the day before or not. Regardless of whether they got chased by a cat the day before or not. Regardless of whether one of the wings isn't working that well or not. Every single morning, they're going to worship their creator. This is the way out of your pain. This is the way out of your torment and out of your heavy labor. If you were to say, Jesus, I worship you. Lord, I need you more than anything right now. Forgive me for being quiet. Forgive me for not running towards you. And Lord, I need you. And it is in those moments that God comes running for us. Amen. Continuing in verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Some of us have many issues. Some of us have much trouble. And he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. Some of us have many issues. Some of us have much trouble. Amen. And we've got to understand that God has the key to every single one of them. And listen, when God cast out the devil out of that man, every single one of those demons left. Not one could stay behind because Jesus has all power and all authority. So what we need to begin doing is say, Jesus, take away everything in my life that is not of you. If I have done anything to cause this pain, if I have done anything to allow the enemy to come into my life and to wreak havoc, would you forgive me and free me from all that is going on? Mark chapter 5, verse 14, we see what happened. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. There was a difference made. There was a difference made in this man. Everybody knew who this man was. He was the one that lived in the graves. He was the one that walked in the mountains, cutting himself and in so much torment. But we've got to understand that Jesus Christ came to free him. And when people saw him the very next time, he was different. The naked, crazy man was there wearing clothes. He was there in his right mind because that's exactly what Jesus did for him. If everybody could stay with me. There's a lot of activity going on here, and the enemy desires to steal this word from you. That's exactly why that's happening. So everybody stay with me. Even though those listening on radio, if there's something disturbing you in the room or whatever, it's just because the enemy doesn't want you to receive this word. Because freedom is here. Truth is here. The light of God is here. The love of God is here to free us. And if there's anybody that doesn't want us free, it's the enemy. Amen. So Matthew 11:29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What is a yoke? A yoke is something that binds two things together. Typically, if there were two cattle, a yoke would be one piece with two rings on it, and both of the oxen would stick their head in it, and they'd be together. Okay, so that's what a yoke meant, that one animal and another animal were joined together and they couldn't free each other from it, okay? So Jesus is saying to us, all of us, not just us that are hurting, but all of us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We have to stay close enough to God to learn about him. Let me tell you about somebody that was very close to God. His name was David. Are there any Davids in the house? Anybody named David? All right. My son's middle name is David. That's a powerful name. Okay. Listen, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that walked very close with God. David was a man that committed some terrible atrocities, some terrible sins, okay? Not only did he commit adultery with another man's wife, he had her husband murdered. But yet God says David is a man after my own heart, because David knew how to repent. David knew how to say, you know what? I'm sorry, God. Would you forgive me and would you restore me? And what David was saying is, Lord, I want to put my head back into that yoke and be yoked to you only. Because here's the thing in this world, okay? There's two choices to make. There's God or the devil. So we're either yoked to one or the other. We're either living by the flesh or by the spirit. David was a man that knew how to be close to God. And how do we know? Psalm 23. We have to stay close enough to God so that we learn about him. And here's what David learned about God in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So as long as I stay close to God, as long as I stay yoked to God, I will not find myself in need of anything. Well, there might be some wants. I might want to go left. I might want to go after this job. I might want to go after this spouse. I might want to go to this city, but I'm kind of yoked over here to God, and I can only go where he takes me. And I've been walking with him long enough to know that he is a good shepherd, and I'm not going to be in any kind of want, any kind of unnecessary or ungodly want. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down. Wow, this makes a lot more sense right now. Being yoked. Because if you're yoked and one of them goes to lay down, what has to happen to the other one? It has to lay down too. So David said, he maketh me to lie down. And what kind of pastures? Green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's only if you're yoked to him, though. Close to him, knowing him, okay? Yea, though I walk, this is so good. When you see this now with the yoke, being yoked to God, and remember what the yoke is. It's like a piece of the farm equipment where it's one large piece, okay? It's a single unit with two big holes where one cow or one bull sticks his head on this side and the other on that side, and they're yoked together. Okay, that's how our relationship with the Lord ought to be. We're yoked with him. If Jesus goes right, we don't have much choice. He's stronger, okay, unless we're living by the flesh. How powerful do you have to be pulling Jesus around? Did you ever think about that? We've got to live in his will and go the way that he wants us to go, because the only place that he's going to lead us is this, beside the still water. For those of you who are hurting this morning, and we're all just about done, verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of you have been given death sentences. Some of you, the doctor said you've got cancer and we don't know how long you're going to live. And right now you're walking through the valley of shadow of death. You're not there at death, but the shadow of death is trying to cast itself over you. But let me tell you something about light and shadows. They don't get along very well. Let me tell you something about light and darkness. They don't get along very well. Light always cancels out darkness. Light always gets rid of darkness. So David was able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The light is with me. The healer is with me. The King of Kings is with me. The peace, the Prince of Peace is with me. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In closing, Matthew chapter 11, verse 30 says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of God is easy. It's the way of a transgressor that is hard. It is the way of sin that is hard. I can tell you this, throughout my lifetime, the worst years of my life were without Christ, BC, before Christ. The worst years of my life, the most havoc, the most trouble was when I was without God. But since I've taken up a yoke with him, I found that things are a lot easier. Do I still have trouble? Yes. But guess what? He's with me. Do I still have storms? Yes. But guess what? He's with me. And that is the difference. He wants you to come to him, and he wants you to take the yoke of his yoke upon him, because it is easy and his burden is light. The burden of this world is hard. We're always trying to impress people. We're always trying to live above our means. We're always trying to do things in our own power, and we fail time after time after time again. Some of us are hurting. Some of us need a touch from God, but we're looking for other places, and it's just so burdensome. But there's just one burden that God puts upon us. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. What is that burden? What is that thing that he expects of us? What is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, verse 36 says this, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So here's what we must begin to do. Get back to love. Love is the thing that frees us all. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love freed us from eternal damnation. And love's not done freeing us from things. Love frees us from every burden. Love frees us from every pain. Love frees us from it all. Even when we are sick and can't get well, there's love there to encourage us and to be with us and to give us peace like we've never understood before. Can we stand to our feet at this time? And we'll say a closing prayer for those of you that are here and those of you that are listening. The invitation has been set. I have taken you along this path and along this journey as far as I can take you. Now the choice is yours. Matthew 11, 28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So now it's time to be honest with yourselves. Are you tired of running away from God? Are you tired of your faith not being used? Some of you grew up in the church, and it's been years and years and years since you've even heard a message preached. But today, by some cause, you've been invited to church, or you've been turned on the radio, or you were walking by the church, and now you've heard this message about how God can free people from their sins, from their sickness, from torment, from anxiety. But there's a decision that has to be made. We know that Jesus is extending his hand to us this morning, but his word is this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Father,